Okay. Good evening. Very nice to see. Very nice to see you guys. As advertised, I'd like to speak about the brilliant idea that the Ribbono Shel Olam had to have this bifurcation, this split between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. What's the significance of it? Why is it that way? And I'd like to really basically present two different perspectives, one of Rav Hirsch and one of Rav Soloveitchik, following from his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi. Rav Hirsch's understanding is, I think, rather original. And again, whenever you listen to somebody saying over ideas, it's important to try to think about the context of where what he was saying. And certainly this year I've had the privilege all year, I give a parsha shiur Friday morning, studying the teachings of Rav Hirsch, the writings of Rav Shimshon and Paul Hirsch. Fascinating commentary on the Chumash. And Rav Hirsch talks about the interplay between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Obviously, this Shabbos we're going to read Parshas Mishpatim, and the truth is that before 3 years ago, even though I did teach Bava Kama 1 year, nobody here was in yeshiva, second year, because Rabbi Lieb was his first year in yeshiva, the second year of yeshiva. Bava Kama, you were the third year. So Rabbi Lieb also missed Bava Kama. 1 year we learned Bava Kama in DRS, the second parak, until Tsroros was coming out of our ears, so it then got abandoned from the cycle. But I never really learned Bava Kama well. 3 years ago I undertook with my morning group, I learned very early in the morning, I have a group that we learned Bava Kama. We embarked on a 4 year project to finish Bava Kama, you know, with a couple of Tosas in, with some of Farshim. So we're now almost three quarters of the way through Bava Kama. Once you've actually studied Bava Kama in depth, you really appreciate these. Maybe that's why these statements of Rav Hirsch were so meaningful to me. You read Mishpatim. Mishpatim is basically highlights of Bava Metzia, Bava Kama. You know, that's basically highlights that. And if you know, some Adam Gadol, I forgot who said, if you know Chumash and Rashi on Mishpatim, you know, like, much of the main sugyas of Bava Kama of Metzia, just to know Chumash and Rashi very, very well, at least the Gemaras. Rav Hirsch says something incredible about the juxtaposition. Now, Rav Hirsch was reacting, clearly, when you listen to his words, he's reacting to that cadre of people that say, listen, the Torah Shebichtav that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave, that I understand, that I have to, you know, it's the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself wrote it, I get it. But that I have to listen to the whole vast Torah Shebaal Peh, Gemara, Mishnah, Halacha, it's so vast, it's so all-encompassing, you can't even begin to start to understand it, and what's the whole, you know, I understand the Torah Shebichtav, but Torah Shebaal Peh, what's up with that? Why is it so vast? Why do we have to keep it Bechlal? What's, Rav Hirsch takes the question, and again, clearly Rav Hirsch is reacting to those people who don't really think the Torah Shebaal Peh passes the same kind of muster the Torah Shebichtav does. And listen to what he says. He points to the fact that the very first halachos that are described in Parshas Mishpatim, which is really the beginning of the corpus of law of Torah Shebichtav, the beginning of the laws, Mishpatim, really the beginning of the halachos. And he points to the fact that the Torah starts with Evan Ivri. I mean, if you were organizing a book of your laws, you wouldn't start with Evid Ivri. I mean, that's the first thing you're going to talk about.
Well, in this case, it wouldn't be because they just came out of Egypt.
Okay, good. That's true. Maybe the fact that they just came out of Egypt, right? He references the fact that Chazal say that already in Mitzrayim, the parsha of Shiluach Avadim was taught. We'll get to that. But he writes like this. To the unprejudiced mind, nothing could demonstrate the authenticity of the Torah Shebaal Peh as cogently as the first two subsections with which the Torah begins. This is to be the civil and criminal code of a nation. It is to set forth the principles and ordinances of justice and humanity that are to regulate human relationships. As to be expected, the first section of the code deals with personal rights. But with what does it begin? With the laws applicable if a man sells another man? If a man sells his own daughter as a slave? That's what you're talking about? This beginning, listen, this is his Ikar Chiddush. This beginning would be unthinkable, inconceivable, were the Torah Shebichsav actually the book of law of the Jewish people, the sole primary source of Jewish law. What a mass of laws and legal principles must have already been stated and established, considered and clarified before the Torah could even turn to treat these cases, which surely are only exceptional cases. And yet it's precisely with these psukim which limit the most sacred of human rights and negate the right to personal freedom that the Torah begins. However, the primary source of Jewish law is not the Torah Shebichsav, but the living teachings of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The book, the Torah Shebichsav, serves only as an aid to memory and a resource when doubts arise. The book itself establishes the fact that the whole Torah had already been transmitted to the people and impressed upon them and lived by them for 40 years before Moshe, just before his death, gave them this Torah Shebichsav. Accordingly, it is primarily the exceptional cases that are recorded, for it is precisely from them that the principles of ordinary life can be derived most clearly. On the whole, the Torah Shebichsav records not principles of law, but individual concrete cases that are recorded in such an instructive manner that one could easily deduce from them the principles that were entrusted to the living consciousness of the Torah Shebaal Peh. This book was not intended as a primary source of the law. Can you believe he said that statement? This book was not intended as a primary source of the law. I mean, we're always used to thinking that, no, the Torah Shebichsav is the primary source, and the Torah Shebaal Peh explains the Torah Shebichsav. Rav Hirsch says, no, that's not the way it went. This book was not intended. It was meant for those who were already well-versed in the Torah Shebaal Peh to use as a means of retaining and reviving ever anew the knowledge that they had already committed to memory. It was intended as a teaching aid for teachers of halacha as a reference to confirm the Torah Shebaal Peh, so that the students should find it easy with the aid of the written text before them to reproduce in their mind. And just one final, I know I read a lot here, but not usually my minute, but just one final line about this. The relationship between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh is like that between brief written notes taken on a scientific lecture and the lecture itself. Students who attended the oral lecture require only their brief notes to recall at any time the entire lecture. They often find that a word, a question mark, an exclamation mark, a period, or the underscoring of a word is sufficient to bring to mind a whole series of ideas, observations, qualifications. But for those who did not attend the instructor's lecture, these notes are of no use. If they try to reconstruct the lecture solely from these notes, they will of necessity make many errors. The non-initiate who will attempt to use these same notes, as opposed to reconstruct, for himself the lecture will dismiss what seems unclear as baseless mental gymnastics and idle speculations leading nowhere. And he goes on and on. Why did it start with that? Whatever, he goes on and on. But to me, this was an interesting and original way of looking at the story. It doesn't start with the Torah Shebichsav, says Rav Hirsch. The Iker of Yadus, and again, we can now understand the other Gemaras, the Gemara in Gittin and Daf Samach that says, Lo karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris ela b'shul tvar m'shebaal peh. Rav Hirsch understands the vastness of how to be a Jew and how to conduct yourself, your life as a Jew. This is the vastness that Torah Shebaal Peh addresses. The Torah Shebichsav are supposed to be bullets and things to the Iker points that they are supposed to remind us to the vastness of Torah Shebaal Peh. But really, Jewish living is not just about following chapter. Jewish living is not just about following chapter and verse of the Torah Shebichsav. One second. It's not just about following chapter and verse of the Torah Shebichsav. The Torah Shebichsav was given as the basics. The basics, certain principles. Certain details, actually, he says, certain details that highlight principles. But Torah is about so much more than that. When you can listen to a shiur from Rabbi Leibowitz, when he'll talk to you about all these vast applications of halach, and that's Jewish living. That's Jewish living. The Torah Shebichsav, that's why Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebaal Peh, that's what Rav Hirsch is trying to impress upon his readership. Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebaal Peh, it's meaningless. It's almost meaningless. Don't get caught up in it. It's just meant to represent. And again, I just think that's point number one I want to say. I'm sorry, Yehuda, I cut you off.
So technically, first day of school, we should be learning Gemara.
I always say that's why in DRS there's a lot more Gemara than there is Chumash, but that's a little bit beyond the scope of what I want to talk about.
Also, your Shiurim are really good too.
Okay, true. But so now, I don't know if we could fit this together or not, but my always favorite understanding about Torah Shebaal Peh, what really has gives me a lot of chizik and strength, and why I am in love with Torah Shebaal Peh. Mamish in love with it, is actually almost like kind of like the opposite svara, what Rav Soloveitchik develops at length. I've quoted this many times. Some of you might have heard me talk about this, but Rav Soloveitchik is quoting a piece of Torah from his great grandfather, the Beis Halevi, about the difference between the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shnios. The Luchos Rishonos, it's almost like it strikes me a little bit as the diametric opposite of Rav Hirsch's approach. But maybe we could meld them together a little bit. Rav Soloveitchik said that the Beis Halevi is medayik in the Psukim, that actually the first time Hashem gave the Luchos, the entire Torah was only Torah Shebichsav. Everything was written out. There was no Torah Shebaal Peh. It was all Bichsav. That's the way Hashem, whatever this means, intended that the first Luchos should be given. Torah Shebichsav. But then Klal Yisrael sinned, the Chet HaEgel. And after Klal Yisrael's sin, Rav Soloveitchik, again, making a very long story short, after Klal Yisrael's sin, Rav Soloveitchik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought that this idea of having everything written out in the book is not a good idea. It's no longer a good idea. So in other words, Rav Soloveitchik understood that, no, Ikaru was really the way the Torah was given the first time, it was all Torah Shebichsav. But afterwards, things didn't go so well. There was a Chet HaEgel, it messed up, so as a response to the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to split it up. And how does splitting it up help the Chet HaEgel? What's the split? What's the godless of Torah Shebaal Peh? What's the godless of Torah Shebaal Peh? So the godless of Torah, hold on a second. The godless of Torah Shebaal Peh is exactly that, that it's not confined. It's not confined. It's vast. It's endless. And it requires Jews. It requires Klal Yisrael. It requires Chachmei Hador, it requires Chachmei HaMesorah. It requires you and me, it requires you coming out and investing some energy into it. And Rav Soloveitchik so beautifully, poetically, the line that always, I almost feel like crying every time I hear the line, such a beautifully poetic line, Rav Soloveitchik said. He said that when the first Luchos were given, so the whole Torah was written out on the Klaf, and that's where it was. The Klaf was sitting in the Aron. You want to know where Torah is? It's in the Aron Kodesh. It's on the Klaf. All Shas, it's all written. It's all in the Klaf. But after Klal Yisrael sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Torah to be in us. He wanted the Klaf of Torah Shebaal Peh to be the hearts and minds of the Jewish people. So, in other words, in the Luchos Shnios, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, again, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought one way, one second, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought one way originally and then he changed his mind? I don't want to get into what that means. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't change his mind. It's not like he made a mistake and Chas V'Shalom, he can't say such a thing. He thought it would go with everything being Torah Shebichsav, but then he made a mistake and said, let it be. No, but there was something, there was some growth process that had to happen. That with Klal Yisrael sinning, now you sinned, now you're going to appreciate the fact that Torah Shebaal Peh, the Klaf of Torah Shebaal Peh, is going to be written on the hearts and minds of all of Klal Yisrael. And the reason, so Rav Hirsch sort of says, Rav Hirsch is trying to justify why we need a Torah Shebichsav. Rav Hirsch basically seems to say that the Torah Shebichsav is really just a summary. It's a summary of, but really the whole thing is really about Torah Shebaal Peh. And Rav Soloveitchik seems to say that Torah Shebaal Peh was a reaction to Klal Yisrael's sin. And the whole, that's why it was given in Yom Kippur. That's why the second Luchos was given in Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is the time when we achieved Mechila Slicha Kapara. What got us to achieve that? It's the fact that we fill ourselves up with it. And that's why, again, I'm not trying to here make a, whatever Torah you learn is great. You want to learn Chumash is Gevaldik. You want to learn Navi, Tanakh, it's all beautiful. But apparently, as Rav Soloveitchik understood, the idea of Torah Shebaal Peh, the idea of the fact that there's something that's not confined to a book, but it has to be passed from Rebbe to Talmud, it has to be spoken over, it has to be ingested in by. Again, now, Eis Lassos Hashem Eferet Torah Secha, at some point they wrote down Torah Shabbat Peh. Also, right, they were afraid it was going to be lost, but even when they wrote it down, as I like to quote, I think I even quoted it last week, I quote almost every week, Rabbi Balzum likes to say that that one daf of Gemara is harder than the hardest AP course in high school, just to understand one daf of Gemara. Because when they wrote it down, they still wanted to preserve that work ethic, that oral quality. You have to work hard to understand it. But once you work hard, you're kone it. It becomes part of you. Your kedusha elevates. When you learn chumash, it's also kedusha. But chumash is in the book. It's in the book. Torah Shabbat Peh is supposed to be, the way it was supposed to be done is communicated mouth to mouth. That's the secret of the Masorah, of Soloveitchik said. Torah Shabbat Peh is the secret of the Masorah. You know, Pesach's a little bit around the corner of Soloveitchik. His whole Pesach night, one of my good friends, Aaron Goldscheider in Eretz Yisrael, came out with a Haggadah a couple years ago, beautiful Haggadah. All the Torah of Rav Kook, Shlomo Kalbach, and Rav Soloveitchik. That's those three, Rav Kook. So basically, every Dvar Torah from Rav Kook is about Eretz Yisrael. Every Dvar Avas Haaretz, right? Every Dvar Torah of Shlomo Kalbach is about Shlomo Kalbach. Shlomo Kalbach is about Avas Yisrael, beautiful. And every Dvar Torah from Rav Soloveitchik is about
Avas Torah.
Right. So, Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Torah Yisrael. That's the name of the Haggadah. All the Torah is that. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that, and again, we who are students of his students, so we are following this Masorah, and you who make it your business to try to schlep out on a Thursday night to try to be part of that Masorah are also part of filling yourselves up with Kedusha. Mamish, the more a person learns of salvation, the more your Mamish fills himself up with Kedusha. Mamish becomes like a Sefer Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he wanted Torah Shabbat Peh, the goal was we should all become walking Sifrei Torah. So whether you take Rav Hirsch's approach about how if you look in the Chumash, it's clear there's got to be more, the Torah Shabbat Peh, but the Torah Shabbat was the Iker, the Torah Shabbat was just a summary. Or you take our salvation's approach that no, originally maybe it was all okay, we could just treasure this book, but after we sinned, it got expanded into the hearts and minds of Jews. Either way, the Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah Shabbat Chsav combination is a very special gift that we have in Yadlis, and I hope that we all spend our lives learning and growing and pushing to appreciate the gift of Torah Shabbat Chsav, and especially, like the one Gittin says, Ikar Kriyas Bris, the gift of Torah Shabbat Peh. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you very much. Yes, Yehuda.
Before you stop the recording,
no, I didn't.
So, can I just get the question on?
Okay,
thanks. So basically, to sum it all up, basically what happened after the Luchos were broken, after the sin, to
give Klal Yisrael an ability. I didn't explain it well.
To clarify that, Hashem can't change his mind. It's the situation that changed.
Right. Right. That's what I suggested. Suggested.
And to say that the idea that it would be written inside us, that we literally become living, breathing Torah.
Shkayach. Correct. Exactly. Thank you.